tonight, and Revelation chapter 12. And I told you before, I love the book of Revelation. I love to study it. I love to read it. Man, as the Bible says, that you get a blessing. There's a blessing in reading it and getting to know it. I would love to be able to memorize the whole book of Revelation. I would love to memorize it. And being around Dr. Upman all the years down there, he would always go to this open forum Bible teaching. And we was in the classroom one day, and he said, "You give me two words, I'll tell you where it's at in the Bible." And somebody would give him two words. He said, "I'm talking about, you know, two words that not the and was, you know." He said two words that, you know, he could get a hold of, and he would basically tell you where it was. Or he'll say, "Give me another word." And that'd be good to be able to have your Bible memorized to that point. You could be able to say, "Hey, I know where that is." What happens is when you read your Bible a lot, you read it, and you have, that's why it's hard to get rid of the Bible that you read or hold on to. This Bible, it's an old Schofield Bible. Now, I got one of Dr. Upman's, I got a couple of Dr. Upman's Bibles just come out. But I like the old Schofield, the one I got. I've had all old Schofield Bibles. I keep them even though they're wore out. They're falling apart. And that's a good sign if your Bible's falling apart, not from just throwing it in the window and letting it sit on the floor and then stepping on it, but wearing it out by reading it. That's a good sign. And when you read your Bible, what happens is somebody will start telling me something, I can see it in my mind because I can see it on the page. You can visually see it in your mind. So the more you spend time in this book, the more you'll be able to see it with your mind. And it bothers me when I don't see it, and I can't remember exactly where it's at. But I can see it, but I not remember the place. And but it's good to memorize your Bible. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. If you want to mess somebody up, if you want to talk to somebody, you want to mess them up, they start being smart about the Bible and everything. You say, "Well, good. We got three more world wars to look forward to." I've said that I don't know how many times to people. I walked in the office of where I worked, and we was talking about this, and the guy said, "Yeah, the world's going bad. Everything's going bad." I said, "Yeah, man, just think, we got three more world wars to go look forward to." And I turned around to walk out, and they said, "Whoa, what? What? What you talking about? Three more world wars?" I said, "Three more world wars. They're coming." And they said, "Where you get that from?" I said, "In the Bible. Don't y'all read the Bible?" And he goes, and Paul said, "Man, this world can't take three more world wars." I said, "Well, it's about wipe it out, but it's going through, it's coming." And then they said, "Well, where's it at?" And this is one of them, right there in Revelation 12. War in heaven. And you said, "That's not a world war, it's a war, but it's a war in heaven." And it's angels fighting each other. You say, "Can angels fight?" Yes, they're going to fight, man. And angels, and you know, the Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and deliver them. And angels, you think about it, if we got God's angel around us, when the unclean spirits and devils and all that stuff, somebody said, "What's the difference?" We was talking about spirits. What's the difference between devils? There's a difference between spirits and devils. And, you know, the fallen angels, put it that way. These are fallen angels. These are not spirits. These are fallen angels. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. So these angels, man, it's just not just 100 of them. It's not just 1,000 of them. There's millions of them. Millions. And as many as there is people on this planet, there's probably more than that of angels. And then when you think about this, when God sent an angel out, he destroyed 185,000 men, one shot, one angel. If God wanted to, Jesus said, he told his disciples, I could call 12 legions of angels if I wanted to. And if he did, we wouldn't be here. We wouldn't even be around if he called them and said, come fight this army. Rome wouldn't have known what hit them. But the Lord was always fulfilling prophecy, all prophecy being fulfilled. And there's a war in heaven. You say, what's the other war? Armageddon. Armageddon's a war. Gog and Magog. Now, Gog and Magog is in Ezekiel 38, and Ezekiel 38, that's Russia coming down. And some preachers believe, I'm starting to lean that way, that there's going to be two Gog and Magogs, because one of them, there are two of them, is called Gog and Magog. And if you trace it back, You trace it back into Genesis. Somebody find me that in Genesis where it talks about Magog. Somebody find me that. And I believe it's in Genesis. And it's a part of Russia. And isn't it funny that Russia's right there, right where the, right in Syria right now. And Trump's dealing with Russia because we have to be careful about Syria because of Russia's there. And he lobbed them missiles in there, but he had to call Putin up and tell him, say, hey, we're getting ready to do this. You've got an hour. Get your men out of there. If not, we'd be fighting Russia. And then the Bible talks about the kings of the east coming against Israel. The kings of the east, who's that? That's China. Here, he had when he lobbed those missiles over into Syria, he had the Chinese emperor, or not emperor, but the Chinese president sitting there at the table with him in Florida, and he tells him, say, oh, we just lobbed these missiles over into Syria. And you got North Korea, you got South Korea, you've got Japan, you've got all these, Jesse, you messing with something?
No, you
didn't. Oh, did I?
Yeah.
That's the cheap mic? I didn't know the difference. All right, I'll use it anyway. Because I feel kind of cheap. I feel cheap. Anyway, you got all them, all the kings of the east coming against Israel, coming to fight against the Lord Jesus, and that's 200 million men coming. So you got three more world wars coming. And if Gog and Magog, if it's twice, then that could be four. That could be four world wars. Now, I know we're getting ready to have youth rally. We're supposed to be happy and positive and all that stuff. But, I mean, this is just something that you know that the Bible says is going to happen. And look at verse 7 again. It says, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. You need to underline that. Underline prevailed not. Who didn't prevail? The devil. Let me tell you something. I read the end of the book, and guess who wins? Guess who wins? It ain't the devil. It ain't the world. They don't win. God's people wins. The Lord Jesus Christ wins. And he's going to tell his children, mount up, Revelation chapter 20. Mount up. I mean, or 19. We're going back. And he comes back to rescue Israel. And look at this. And the great dragon was cast out, and we talked about the devil being cast down five times. He said in Isaiah 14, I will, I will, I will. In Ezekiel, he says, the Lord says, I'm going to do this to you, I'll do this to you, I'm going to do this, I will. And the devil gets cast down five times. Five is the number of death. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. It's like the Lord says, okay, he tells the devil, get out of here. I don't want to hear your mouth anymore. Get out of here. Get out. And he was a covering cherubim. He was over top of the throne. He gets cast out of third heaven. He gets cast down to second heaven, first heaven. I better change this thing. I told you I was dealing with these folks that they're Gothic and all that years ago. And they said, Satan rules, man, Satan rules. And they were yelling that stuff and all that stuff. I said, y'all serving a bunch of losers, man. You're gonna lose. And the Lord's going to come back, and he's going to win. Now, the Bible says, take your Bible, look in Daniel. I'm going to show you something. In Daniel chapter 7. Daniel and Revelation go hand in hand. And Daniel chapter 7. Look at this, Daniel 7. And Daniel 7, look at verse 7. Daniel 7 and verse 7. This is talking about the Roman Empire. It says, after this I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth. It devoured and breaked in pieces and stamped into residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all these, all beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. We've seen the 10 horns in Revelation 12 on the dragon, on the, and then Revelation 13 on the beast. And I considered the horns, and I beheld there came up among them a little horn, and before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in his horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. It's like reading Revelation again. And it says, and his throne was like unto a fiery flame, and his wheels are as burning fire. His wheels. The Lord's got wheels? Hey, man, he's got some wheels. And and it says, and a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands of thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and judgment was set, and the books were opened. And look over to chapter 7, verse 23, and look what it says in verse 23. And thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. And the 10 horns and his kingdoms are 10 kings, kingdoms are 10 kings that shall rise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And look what the Bible says. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times, laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time, times, and dividing of times. The Lord's just going to give him a little time, and then and that's it. Back up to verse 19. It says, then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, which devoured and brake in pieces, stamped the residue with his feet, and the 10 horns were in his head, and the other which came up, those 10 horns represent 10 kingdoms, and before whom three fell, even of the horns that had eyes, and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. And it goes on. Go to chapter 9. And it says in verse 10, and it shall wax great even to the hosts of heaven, and cast down some of the host. Look at this. Like reading Revelation 12. It waxed great and even to the host of heaven. It shall cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamp upon them. So when the war takes place, the angels are fighting, some angels get wounded. But the Bible says the devil gets cast out. And he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, verse 11, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. Daniel 8. I said 7, but Daniel 8, verse 10. Daniel 8, 10. It says that he shall cast down some of the host, verse 10, of the stars to the ground. That's where we're at in Revelation 12. When it says there's war in heaven and the dragon fought and his angels fought and so on. Let's go back to Revelation 12. I'm sorry I didn't get it clear to you. This is Revelation 12, what we just read in Revelation 8. It says the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan that deceived the whole world. And he was cast into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of God, our God. And it says, in the power of his Christ, and that's what Jesus called. He's called Jesus Christ, the Christ, the power of his of kingdom, of a kingship. And it says, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. And they overcame him, there it is, by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. These are tribulation saints. And they love not their lives on the death. These are the 144,000 we was reading about in over in Revelation 7 and Revelation 14. He says, they love not their lives, even their lives on the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a what? Short time. We had some Jehovah's Witnesses. I was out cutting the grass the other day. These Jehovah's Witnesses pulled up, and they got out, and they started. I brought up the lawnmower up there. It was at my daughter's house. I brought the lawnmower up. And I shut it off. I said, "Hey, how y'all?" I said, "Y'all Jehovah's Witnesses, ain't you?" And he said, "Yeah, yeah, we're from Kingdom Hall." I said, "I just want you to know, I'm the real Jehovah's Witness." Amen. And they went, "What?" I said, "I'm a real Jehovah's Witness. You guys are phonies." And they went, what are you talking about? And I said, plus you got your wrong dispensation. I said, you guys, you'll be in the tribulation, you'll probably be doing the right thing. You'll be having to get, you know, give your life and all that stuff. But I said, but you're saved by grace through faith plus nothing now. And I said, I went through a bunch of stuff, and he started saying, "Well, let me ask you a question." I said, "Look, ask me." So he asked me a question about, well, there is no real, nobody can really go to heaven until the 144,000. And I said, "Where you get that at?" And he goes, "Oh, that's Revelation chapter," I said, "Revelation 14. He goes, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Have you ever read Revelation 14? "Yes." I said, "You know what?" I said, "You got a New World Translation. I got a King James Bible." I said, "That's why," I said, "your religion." I said, what happened to anybody that was Jehovah's Witnesses before Russell came along? Russell came along in the early 1900s. I said, "What happened to everybody? There was no Jehovah's Witnesses." I said, "Russell didn't want to believe there was a hell, a burning hell. He didn't want to believe that." And I said, "You know what?" He said, "Well, there's a difference between the lake of fire." I said, "Yeah, you're going to go to the lake of fire, but you don't get saved. Hell is a holding spot. It's like the county jail." And I started explaining. He goes, I said, "I'm Pastor Faith Baptist." He goes, "Oh." And I said, "The 144,000, and the other guy's listening. And I said, "The 144,000 are all male Jews. Have you ever read that? They're virgin male Jews." I said, "They're going to go through the tribulation." I said, "You're going to be here for it then. You're going to be here for it." And I said, "I'm not going to be here." I said, "You know why? I'm a real Jehovah's Witness." And the guy, they didn't know what to say. They really didn't know what to say. Don't pull Greek out. Don't try to pull the Greek out on me. Make you look like an idiot anyway. I said, "Don't do that." And he goes, "Well, we got to go." I said, "All right." So Mormons, I said, "You guys, why don't you all just hook up with the Mormons, because y'all believe about the same thing." I said, "Y'all going to go through the tribulation clinging to each other." So they got back in the car, and they stopped in my driveway. I was up at Becky's house. They pulled up to my driveway, and they stopped in my driveway, and they looked down the driveway, and they just kept on going. And I was hoping they'd help my driveway. I'd pull over there and talk to them over there, too. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. I even said the blood of Jesus a couple of times. I wanted to see their eyes roll back in their head one time. And that happened when I first got saved. I was talking to a guy, mentioned the blood of Jesus, and their eyes rolled back. And I think Jamie had that happen to her. Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on her door, and she said, "Are y'all washing the blood of Jesus?" And the girl that was standing there was 21 years old. Her eyes flipped in her head. You said, "What is that?" "That's an unclean spirit." And look at verse 12. "Therefore rejoice, you heaven, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for the seal for the sea, for the devil has come down." You know what? You know what this does for me? It makes me say, "Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm not going to be here." Amen. So how do you know? Because God promised. Amen. Somebody called me up today and said, "Can you give me all the scripture on why we're not going to be here?" I said, "Sure." 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read that at talking about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We should not all sleep, but we should be changed. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, the Lord said, I'm going to come back." And he says, then the angels told him in Acts chapter 1, says, "As you've seen him go, he's so coming like manner." He's coming back in the clouds and call his children out. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, God has not appointed us to wrath. We're not going to go through it. We're spoiled, rotten brats, but we probably deserve to go through it, but we're not going to go through it. And here, we believe that we're not going to lose our salvation. And most black churches, Baptist black churches, they believe you're going to lose it. And here you're sitting here tonight, I know I can't lose it. I asked them, I said, what sin could you lose it for? They said, blaspheming the Holy Ghost. I said, what is that? They don't even know. They don't even know what. That sin of blaspheming the Holy Ghost could only be committed when Jesus Christ was on this planet. The closest thing, I tell them, the closest thing to blaspheme the Holy Ghost would be a man that rejects Jesus Christ and dies in his sin, goes to hell. Man, I'm sitting here tonight. I'm saved. I'm more saved than you. I mean, the Bible says I'm already seated in heavenly places. And so are you. We're already there. And you know what? Bible-believing Christians that have eternal security, that has a Bible, has the right Bible, has all that stuff, the most unthankful people. He said, I'm not. Thank God you're not. Amen. Thank God you're not. But man, we get, that's why the devil works on you. Because you got, man, you got some peace and you got some joy, you got some new things. Look what the Bible says in Revelation 12. This we know this talking about Israel, and we know that there's 2,000 years between verse 5 and verse 6, because of the man-child of Jesus Christ. There's 2,000 years there. And then here we go, verse 12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that his time is short. So when you read Revelation 6, 7, 8, so on, you go through the tribulation. You go through the tribulation with the seals. You go through the tribulation with the trumpets. You go through the tribulation with the, there's one other here. What is it? The vials. You go through the tribulation. And when you read the book of Revelation, it repeats it and repeats it and repeats it, just like the Gospels. So, man, I thank God I'm not going to go through it. What a blessing. But it's giving Israel what they ought to be doing. It says in verse 13, when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. That's where all hell breaks loose. Say, what is this? I believe the Antichrist will be killed, according to the book of Daniel. It says his deadly wound shall be healed. The Jews will realize after they rebuild the temple, the temple is going to get rebuilt. It will get rebuilt. It'll either be before the rapture, or they already got everything ready to go, or be doing after the rapture. The temple will be rebuilt. And the Antichrist is after, for 3.5 years, he's going to bring everybody together, all the religions are going to be together, everything's going to be hunky-dory, and everybody's going to say, that's got to be God. And then one Jew is going to get a hold of it. Somebody's going to get a hold. They're going to say, that guy is the devil himself. And they're going to go in and going to kill him, shoot him. And his right eye and his right hand will be dried up, the Bible says. And he's going to resurrect just like Jesus Christ. And he comes down with great wrath. Comes down and all three of them come together. Revelation, look at this. Revelation, 16? Is it 16? No. Revelation 13. No, here it is. Revelation 16. Revelation 16, verse 13. That's what you meant. I saw the unclean spirits like on the frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth. See, here we're going through the tribulation thing. And it says, and for the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watches and keepeth his garments, lest he be walked naked and see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue, what? Armageddon. Go back to Revelation 12. We'll finish up here. It says, Revelation 12, and the woman was given wings like a great eagle. And some folks believe that's a 747. Was it the lion in England? Does it have wings? America has an eagle. Wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into a place where she is nourished for a time, times and half a time, from the face of the serpent. They believe that what the Bible says, she's running to the wilderness to hide. That's the remnant that's going to be left. It's just going to be a remnant left of Israel. You think about, I think they said the other day, there's 16 million Jews in Israel right now. Just going to be a handful left before the Antichrist gets done. Adolf Hitler ain't gonna have nothing on him. He's gonna go after those Jews to annihilate them. And then he's gonna hunt them down like dogs. And anybody that wouldn't receive the mark gets their head cut off. And he's gonna hunt them down. And then that's when the Lord's gonna come back in Revelation 19. He's gonna come back and fight for them. And the Bible says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. Try to drown her. And they believe that there's a place in Moab. It's down in Moab. And I forget the name of the, it's called, anybody got the name of that place? Who remembers that name? Do you remember that name? It's right in Moab or Edom. It's a little place that's, when you see it, they had it on Indiana Jones. Huh? The Petra. Yeah, Petra. They believe that's where the Jews are going to run because there's caves and they're going to run and hide. Antichrist is going to come and try to annihilate him, and the Lord's going to come back and fight for him. They're going to run for the you know, caves. And that's why when Jesus Christ said he stood over Jerusalem, he stood there and he looked at his old Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often I would have gathered to you like a hen with chicks, but you would not. And the Jews said, we have no king but Caesar. And when you let Caesar be your king in here, the almighty dollar, you let Caesar be your king, there's going to be destruction. You let him, if you let him have this and this and this, he'll control it and he'll bless it. It says, and the serpent cast out of the mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, swallowed the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the woman, a remnant of her seed. I guess you could count that as another war, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And then we get in chapter 13 talking about this beast coming up out of the sea, which is the Antichrist. So all the way through Daniel, you'll find Revelation, you'll find it talking about this guy. You'll find about this Antichrist, this guy coming, the false Christ, trying to deceive the world. Somebody, I was just telling the guys the other night, I saw this guy on TV, what's his name? Hal Lindsey. Hal Lindsey did a study, he was showing about Donald Trump and all that stuff. And Donald Trump's got a son-in-law, and he's a Jew. And I thought when Donald Trump got, I voted for Donald Trump, and when he became, I think he was the best thing for us, right? At, you know, you got Hillary, Donald, which one would you, you know, Donald. But Donald Trump's got a son-in-law standing in the shadows. His name is Kushner. And Hal Lindsey was showing Eric Kushner, his family were all billionaires. He inherited, or he's running the family business. They bought, and he's going, he said, well, who is this mystical guy? He stands back, he's got Donald Trump's ear. And Donald Trump came, when he became president, he says, we're going to let Eric run, he's going to bring peace to Jerusalem. That's what he said. I hope he does. But I know what the Bible says, who's going to bring peace. And he said, if anybody can do it, Eric can. They showed Eric Kushner going into his building. They bought it. He bought the building right across the street from the Rockefeller Center. And he's walking into the building, and they put the camera up, and it's 666 right there in Manhattan. You say, that's just a building number. Yeah. But this guy is the right age. He's 30-some years old. When the Antichrist, I'm not saying he's the Antichrist, but I say when the Antichrist shows up, he'll be a part Jew, he'll be part Syrian. He'll be around 30 years old. He'll be a genius. And this guy, everybody will say, this guy is the smartest man on the planet. Huh? I don't know if both his parents are Jews. But Ivanka converted over to Judaism, their children being, I'm not saying he is, I'm just saying. You got types, he could be a type. But man, I'm telling you, things are moving right along. All right, we'll take a prayer request.